Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you today? Man, is it a spectacular day out there? Great. Rains overnight. Nice and soft. Oh, it's good. You doing okay? Y'all look good. Let's start today with 781. And let's stand, please. 781.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims bright, from every mountainside, let freedom.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day you give us to come to your house today, Lord, to worship you. Thanks for Lois that made it here today, Lord, keeping us safe the past week, the wonderful rains overnight, Lord, the many things we got accomplished, being with us, Lord, every day, providing all our, Lord, we can't go on enough for what you do for us. Help us, Lord, to remember to never take things for granted, but to give you praise and honor for everything that you do for us, Lord, always. Thank you for our church, Lord, that we're able to be here today, anticipating some time in your word, Lord. Our pastor's here. I pray, Lord, you guide and direct him today, Lord, as he goes into your word. And I pray, Lord, that your message you laid in his heart will speak to each and every person here today in some way or form, Lord. And if somehow, some way, Lord, someone needs to get right, I pray they do so before they leave the building today. Lord, I pray that someone might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior today, and I pray for that, Lord. Be with our nation, Lord. Thank you so much for it. Remembering today, Lord, those that fell at 9/11. What an awful time it was, Lord. But to me, Lord, your name was honored and glorified. But it all went on there, Lord. I pray, Lord, that somehow, some way, that we'd see some good in that, Lord, even though it was an awful, tragic event. Be with us all today, Lord. Help us as we study with Pastor. Thank you for his time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 517, please. 517.
I am resolved to go. Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He will, He is the living way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
Thank you. Let's see, tonight our evening service is going to be a business meeting. Our quarterly meeting is tonight. And then prayer and Bible study this Wednesday. We have personal evangelism scheduled for the 20th. Wilton Bible study will be the 15th and 29th. Iron sharpens iron will be the 17th. And women's Bible study is going to resume on the 13th at 6 o'clock. Fellowship, September 25th. That's a couple weeks yet. Zelva, Patsy, and Adams, the kitchen team, they're responsible for that. Vote was taken, the pledges resumed in Sunday school. And pastor's thought for the week, have you dialed 911 for America? Jesus mans the call. Center 24/7. Guys, you come forward, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Precious Father, we can't even begin to thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. For the many things, Lord, that we don't even know are going to be coming to pass. But You've already taken care of things for us, Lord. If we'll let You direct our lives, Lord, we'll see them. And thank You for that, Lord. Be with our pastor as he speaks, Lord. Be with us as we consider a gift to You today, Lord. It'll never be enough, Lord, but it's a small portion back to You. And we thank You for the opportunity. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. I was asked to announce that Matt Swanson and Jane Theobald are going to be married on the 17th of this month at the Church of Christ in Muscatine at 2 o'clock. And I believe Kim's going to present a special for us now.
Yeah. Man, thanks.
My turn again. I was in the back. I had to come up the aisle this week. I'm Pastor.
You're walking the aisle all the time.
Amen. Certainly so. Okay, this morning we're going to be back in the Gospels again, Matthew this time, and chapter 24. Chapter 24 and verses 4 to 12. And this refers to Daniel's 70th week, a little prophecy here. Jesus telling him what's going to happen in the end times. So chapter 24, Matthew, verse 4, Daniel's 70th week. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must be come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Various places is another word there. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall have one, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. And then the last two verses go with it, and I'll read here. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Jesus gives those words of assurance about the future.
May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Kim, also for that special. Doug, I've got something here that's yours you may need. Welcome to Fruit. We'll keep it right here, Lonnie, safe and sound. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church. We're glad for everyone that's come through the doors this morning. I especially want to welcome anyone that's visiting with us today or that is a visitor multiple times. As you notice this morning, we're missing a few folks today. I believe that there is always a great need to be praying for this church. I know there are at least several that are ill. There could be others that are also struggling with spiritual illnesses today, of various kinds, and we know that this is the place to come for healing. And the one to come to healing to is Jesus, the great physician. But I welcome you in his mighty name today. It is a great day to be alive. God showed us his blessings and power this morning. Beautiful rain overnight, followed by clear sun. He reminds us of himself and everything that takes place. I also want to let you know this morning that we express our sympathies to Dean Naylor and his family. His mother passed into the presence of Jesus this past week. I think it was on Thursday. And so be in prayer for the Naylor family as they deal with those situations today as well. And again, for those that we don't see with us today that we normally would, that God would intervene in those specific situations. So with that said, we're going to go to prayer. The title of our message today is Twisted Rubble from 9/11. And Doug has given us that text already, so we'll look into that today. And just pray today that the Spirit would be active in God's people. I appreciated, Kim, your flute solo there and some of the things about America. And let me just say this, that as John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And let me just say this, if the Christians don't do for America, and we don't present the gospel, and we don't take an interest in people for Jesus' sake, America has an unhappy future ahead of it. Let's go to prayer. Dean, good to see you this morning. I just announced, and we are sympathetic towards you this week at the passing of your mother. So we wanted to let you know that. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for another day of your grace and mercy. We're thankful, Lord, for everyone that came and that did not come today. Lord, you know the hearts. You know the reasons that people have. We thank you for the community where you've placed us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity yesterday to be present at your Fruitland Days celebration and to have the gospel witness present and some helps for people. And Lord, I'm thankful that many people came through and took some of those things and considered things and asked questions. So I pray that you would bless that, Lord, and that we would be a proactive force here in the Muscatine area of the truth and of a witness of your love to people. Lord, we do come to you today, though. We realize that there are many situations in people's lives that have gone on through this week and have gone on for all time, Lord, that are things that intervene in our well-being. I pray today, Lord, that you would be the God of all peace and comfort, that people would look to you as their source of hope and strength. And we thank you so much today, Lord, for the wonderful gift of salvation that you gave at such a high cost, where God in the flesh had to come and die for the sins of unworthy man, the worthy for the unworthy. That's real love, and we thank you and give you credit for that today, Lord. We exalt and extol you in all ways. You are worthy of all of our praise, and now, Lord, as we worship, that means to bow down. I pray that our hearts would bow at your throne this day, that we would acknowledge you as Lord of our lives and the King of kings and Lord of lords. So, Lord, I pray you'll work today through the preaching of the word. And as always, Lord, I'm the weak link in this chain. I pray that you'll strengthen me for the task. And, Lord, that your spirit would have free course today in the hearts of the people that are in attendance. Lord, maybe in a couple of different ways to edify those and to keep us on the path. For those that are in this room, and Lord, if there are those that have strayed and have never known you as the Lord of their life and the one who has saved them, I pray today would be the day they would acknowledge that, and that this day would not be a wasted day, but a fruitful day in the history books. So I ask these things now and ask for your support. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. By the way, I did appreciate those songs this morning, Kim. And, you know, Kim, she's my favorite flutist, but Kim and I are both struggling a little bit. Not that we don't get our eyes tested, that we don't have proper glasses, but the music notes have been reduced recently in their size. In fact, go ahead, Kim.
And, you know, when you made a good point, you left off the last measure on each
other. If there's problems, you can be sure that I've had a part in that. But the real sign that there's a problem, I went to kiss Kim the other day, and I missed her head. Between that and the evening spent in our house saying, "What did you say? Say that again." Kim and I are beginning to suffer from the maladies of maturity. But anyway, we still want to praise God and serve God. I hope you do too, in spite of all the things and struggles that we face at times. But friends in Christ, what were you doing or where were you at when the towers were hit and eventually collapsed? We could probably take time this morning to share that. I think it's one of the vivid memories of people that are alive today that are 25 years old plus. It's been 21 years, probably closer to 30 years with people that would have it as a vivid memory. I would like to hear all those stories from you today, and I have already heard one or two, but I'll just briefly say I was in chapel at Faith. And I was 42 years old, and I remembered thinking, well, I may end up being in military service yet. And it made me shake, and I had to sit there a little bit after that happened and recant and recuperate from where what we'd heard, because it was almost unbelievable that the United States of America had had a direct hit on our soil. In modern times, I mean, come on, we have defense. Supposedly that's second to none. How could this thing have happened? And then later that day, when I was in school, I had to commute home a lot of days. I had to go home that day to make hay. And Lonnie and I talked about this week. Lonnie, of course, wasn't with me, but I was out at the Fullman place raking hay, getting ready to head back up to Ankeny that night. And there came George Bush flying over in Air Force One. Basically right over the hayfield on his way from Offutt Air Force Base. And I don't remember. I think maybe they were going back to D.C. I don't remember the details anymore. But flying low enough that I could certainly see that it was Air Force One with the entourage of fighters. Jeff, you had a hand. Yep.
And there they were. And the fighter jets actually switched off. Some came from the east, picked him up, and two of them went back west.
And it was a crystal clear day that day.
It was awesome.
Not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
Well, folks, I think that was a significant date that we'll find in history. And I'll go ahead and illustrate this today a little bit. But I believe it was significant in that it has exposed biblical prophecy that gives us clues that the church age is in its waning days and that we are living in close proximity of crucial end times events. In our text today that Doug read for us, Matthew 24, we don't all agree on the significance of that text. I believe everything from 13 on is a tribulation passage written primarily to the Jews, but I believe prior to that it's written to Christians yet to come and currently in the church age, but also believing Jews that had faith in Jesus Christ at that time and those that would have a significance in God's recalling and regathering of the nation of Israel. We could debate that, and we have here before in times ahead, but there are three D words, and by the way, I did not make up a thing this week, and it's not on the screen. Just listen. If you need a pen, I've got one. You can pass it. I've got note cards. But just listen to these things a little bit. Three D's: deception, delusion, and destruction. Deception, delusion, and destruction. And I had to throw this in, of course. It's a fourth D word: describe. Okay? They describe the day in which we are living. Do you agree with me today? Deception, delusion, destruction. We're 21 years past 9/11. I hope to illustrate to you and from God's word today that this is no surprise attack to God and that many of these things will expose to us where we are today in God's timeline. By the way, folks, always be watching the skies. Now, I am not a prophet, but I know this. Jesus will return during the Feast of Trumpets. And it's interesting to note this too, and again, don't go out of here, we're not a cult at Fruitland, we're free thinkers under the guise of the Word of God. But let me tell you, fall is an important season in Christ's timeline. The Feast of Trumpets, I believe, is when He'll return. Everything is governed by the Feast of Leviticus 23, and that is a fall feast. Usually comes at the end of September in our current day. Be watching, because our redemption will draw nigh, and it's drawing closer, nearer, every day. Anyway, Jesus is answering His disciples' question about His second advent or coming, which is in prophetic time at the epic battle of Armageddon, where He defeats the forces of Satan and evil in their quest for world control. This is an epic battle that rages, even in the lives of people, between the forces of Jesus Christ and the forces of His enemy and our enemy, Satan, our opposer. What Jesus prophesies, though, in this text is a day filled with a proliferation of deception and evil. And folks, it especially surrounds the local church in its late days. I hope to illustrate that to us this morning, that we be warned and that we understand the things that are going on today may not see in the outward description of them the things that are deeply under them. But I believe this, it points to the return of Jesus Christ. And let me just say this, the second coming is indeed, His second advent is indeed when He comes and His feet touch the Mount of Olives at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, at the beginning of the Battle of Armageddon. And that is the second coming of Christ. He came first as the babe in the manger. The second time He comes, He's going to be the conquering King. Are you ready for that day? Is the world ready for that day? We can be ready in Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Well, let's take a look at Matthew 24, 4 through 12. I'm going to move through this as quickly as I can. You may not all agree with me, but one thing when you come to Fruitland, you'll get something to think about. If you want to be put to sleep with the 3 points in a poem and feel good when you leave, go somewhere else. They'll do it fine. But Fruitland is not that way. We don't guarantee things here today as far as making people feel good. But what I can guarantee you is that you will leave with something to think about, and you will leave with a scriptural foundation for what is said. And we'll leave it at that. The first thing I'd like to read is verses 4 and 5. Jesus was, they're asking him, what's going to happen with the end of the world? By the way, if you go into the Greek translation, it's the word ion. It's not the best translation in the King James Version, which I'm preaching from today. It's better translated the end of the age. And folks, today we are in the church age. We are in the church age. It's the age of God's grace. He's always been gracious, but it's the age of whosoever will come. That is the church age. The door to salvation through the gospel by faith in Jesus Christ is open to every person on this planet. Isn't that something that's wonderful that we've had in our day? Wow. We talked about transitions in midweek Bible study this week. Folks, there are some big transitions that are coming to this old world and to people. Anyway, Jesus answered the disciples here at their question. You can read what was previously there. And the first thing he says in verse 4 is, wake up and listen and take heed. Because the thing that will influence the days of the church age is deception. You better know what you believe and if it's true or not. And folks, you need to sieve that today. And I've told you before many times down here at Fruitland. By the way, I'm amazed that you still put up with me. But I've told you I don't endorse any pastors or teachers, including myself. It's up to you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to look into the Word and see what it says. But Jesus said right out of the gate here, he says, you better watch out. And notice he says that no man deceive you. Men are the agents of deception of Satan. Jesus is not a man. He was the God-man. He was fully God and fully man. He is divine. And what Jesus tells you is truth. He will never deceive you. That is what we spend our time studying in His Word to find the truth. And His Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. Because Jesus says in verse 5, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, a lot of people don't come and say that they're Jesus Christ, but what the word Christ means in the Hebrew is God's anointed. So what you're going to see in this age, during the church age, and so much the more toward the end of it, is people that are coming, men and women, but the human species, are going to come to deceive, and they're going to do it in Christ's name. Now, I don't know what everyone does. I know there's a lot of people today that have given up on the local church. They watch the TV preachers. Well, to tell you the truth, I don't. Because you know what? I've got enough to deal with just learning myself. But you and I both know that those are agents, again, of deception in many cases. Even if they're off on one thing, they're off. Because Jesus says here, how many are going to be deceived? He uses the word many. Many. So here's what I'm saying today with verses 4 and 5 in this message. Pay special attention to deceptive practices and proclamations of people. Pay special attention to deceptive practices and proclamations of people. We live in a day that has rapidly become one of distrust of everyone and everything. I don't distrust Jesus. But I've said recently, as I deal with people, I have to think about the mafia. I need to have at least one concrete, impenetrable cement wall behind me so I can keep an eye on all the things on the sides and in front of me. Because you can't trust anyone or anything today. In this world. Many will, Jesus says it, many will present to being God's anointed, which means Christ, the sent one, and many will fall for it. The Bible is our only source of certainty, and it is the benchmark for truth versus error. Amen. Enough said. 6-8. Jesus said, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." I could talk about this in a whole service today, but the world has always been filled with wars and rumors of wars. But after World War I, it has proliferated. There are many conflicts going on around this globe today. Not all those conflicts, though, are armed conflicts. Because I think what Jesus is alluding to here, there will also be spiritual warfare that's going on in our day. It's the epic battle that I illustrated to you earlier between the God of the Bible and the forces of his opponent, Satan. We live in an age of warfare. But Jesus tells the believers here, he says, don't be troubled, because this is all going to have to come to pass. But it isn't over yet. God will work his program on his timetable, in his ways, and he'll be right on time. The question is, are you and I on time? By the way, God doesn't operate like Amtrak or the airlines or anything else. He's on time every time, right on time. Thank you, Lord. May we be understanding what his timetable says. He says there in verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." By the way, that's not just what he's about kingdoms of the world. He's talking about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. That's all illustrated in that verse. We saw some big events over in England this week. And I won't comment on that any further, but don't be surprised at what all lies underneath the Windsor family and the rest of the things that are going on. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Enough said, right? And notice he also says there should be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Here's what Jesus sums up here in all this. I put this down. All war is the result of man's sin. War is a terrible thing. It's the ultimate manifestation of our sin. Jesus is not only talking about a military conflict, but spiritual conflict in the battle of good versus evil. I already illustrated that. And he couples that and says what will be happening in that age and what will be ramping up in that age, which I'll get to here in just a little bit more, with cataclysmic events that are physical, such as the earthquakes, the famines, the pestilences. I asked this morning, we were studying Jonah, our first day in our junior, senior high class downstairs. And I said, what does it take to get God for God to get someone's attention? And I illustrated to Kinzer. Kinzer, remember what I said? You told me your favorite thing to do is go get an energy drink. In fact, you consumed a Red Bull already this morning, you told me. Right? I can't do it. My heart would start flipping around. I can't take the caffeine. Red Bull and chips, right? Yeah. But what happens, you think it'd ever be you'd go in a store and there's nothing on the shelves? And Kinzer said, that might get my attention. What will God do to get our attention? He's trying. He's trying through the preaching like today to have people think, what's coming down? Folks, we could easily starve in this world. Do you know that the Western United States, where much of our produce is grown now, and by the way, a lot of our produce comes from overseas, is in the midst of a horrendous drought. Food may become an item. Will Jesus get your attention? What will he use to get our attention? For some people, they're never going to listen to him. Study the book of Jonah. Study the Bible. God never lets people go without trying, if we'll listen. For those that... here where I left off here. They're God's attention getters. For those that may be called to salvation, if you're not saved here today, but you're considering it, before even worse begin. And the way I see that is the period known as the tribulation and great tribulation, which is a 7-year period that's prophesied several places, chiefly by Daniel, but other places in the scripture as well, is what's ahead, and God's trying to warn us. And nothing happens overnight. It happens gradually. Folks, in case you didn't know this, and you could debate this, but between 90 and 92% of the world's population, the Bible prophesies, will lose their life in the tribulation period. In case you haven't done the math lately, that is a substantial number of souls. Does it get your attention? If you're apart from Jesus today, I pray it does. Amen. 92% of the population dies, and you read about it. Disruption and chaos are unleashed in judgment and the opportunity for men to repent. Repent means turn around. Amen. Maybe there's some here today. Maybe all of us in some cases need to turn around. Maybe some people that aren't here today for various reasons need to turn around. Amen. Thankfully, this message is available to the public. Go to the website and you can hear it. Turn around. That's why these things are coming about, my friends. God's still not willing that any should perish. He wants us to repent. Amen. Now, verse 9. Oh, by the way, verse 8, Jesus said, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. They're the precursor to what's coming. You think it's bad now? Larry, you just said it. You ain't seen nothing yet. I hope we don't see it. I hope no one here goes through that. The rapture, those of you that don't agree with that, though, bottom line is, when's the day to get saved? You don't gamble on this stuff. Today is the day of salvation. Verse 9. Now we're going to talk about something that might be difficult. Yes, I am going to talk about 9-11 today. Jesus said in verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Who is that group of people? Well, Israel and the church. But in specifically in Israel, it's the ones who were or have been or will be called to salvation through who? Jesus. He's the only way. God knows how this is all going to come down, but that's who's going to be in the crosshairs of Satan. So here I'm going to begin on 9-11 and why I think it was a significant day in history, prophetic history. Satan and his allies used 9-11 as a test strike on what they perceived as a Christian nation. What they perceived as a Christian nation. We don't know, again, how America stacks up in God's eyes. But we can know ourselves. And remember, Satan is not above being deluded. He's not omniscient. He's deficient. But Jesus, God is omniscient and he is sufficient. And likely the reason that that was a target, and I believe this, my friends, it was done through the vehicle of Islam. But that's not the only vehicle. By the way, I believe Islam will have a major part in the false religions of the end times. It already is, and I'm going to illustrate that to you today. And I believe this with all my heart as well. Some of you may not like me to say this, but I believe what was pulled off on the day of 9-11 also had internal forces that were part of it. I don't know who. God does. The people do. But I can tell you this, and I'm just a dumb farmer, and you'll all say that, but buildings like that took place there in New York, anyone, if you've ever built a little building with blocks as a kid, you know that what happened that day, when you think about it, there was more to it. Those planes striking that, the heat that went up, heat goes up. But I saw those buildings come down And folks, to me, some of you may not agree, there was an inside thing there that took place. Those buildings were wired for detonation. I know you called me Crazy John anyway. But here it is, folks. The towers were economic and social representations that incited the division of people because of jealousy, the haves versus the have-nots. The Middle Easterners that live in abject poverty, other places around the world, but they see the pictures of America and they think that we're living high on the hog. And we have to have in a great many cases. But you know what Islam calls America? The great Satan. From their perspective, which is a deceived perspective, in some cases, in other ways, they've got it dead on. America and New York City in particular are the center for a lot of evil stuff. Satan's realm. Again, it's deception, like what Jesus said in the whole thing. And let me tell you this, folks. Those towers and other targets in America have been targeted before. They just didn't get it all pulled off those times. But that day, they did. Now the rubble. You remember the title? What was my title? The Twisted Rubble from 9/11. Okay? Let me just tell you the facts. Islam is the fastest growing worldwide religion, and it is growing in the United States. There has been no impedance to it since 9/11. More on that in just a minute. Christianity, and what I mean by that is generic Christianity, because we can go right in our own city or any place else. There's all kinds of churches and groups that claim the name Christian, but they are not Bible-believing Christians because they are governed by deception. Be very careful what you believe is Christianity. Because I'll tell you what the case is, though, even for generic Christianity today, it is the fastest declining religion. You know it and I know it. We should have been in many building programs here at Fruitland over the years. As a flock in a town and community this size, it's not there. And I'll say this, even some of the churches that are larger in our community today may also suffer from what? Deception. And how people perceive it. I want to tell you the facts. Today, worldwide, truly Bible-believing born-again Christians are at the most, well, I'll say this, the studies I've read, 1 to 5% of the population. By the way, in case you don't know mathematics, and I did go to Wilton, it's not a big number. It's not a big number. Some places, true biblical Christianity is growing regionally, even here in the United States in places, and in some cases around the globe, it has been. Africa went through a growth, I believe, with Bible-believing effects 15 years ago and back for a while. But in most cases, biblical Christianity is static or declining. And that's the case in America. By the way, folks, the cost in lives and economics has been astronomical in our war with Islam, and we have not deterred it. I don't need to preach on this, but just a year and a month ago, think of the thousands of lives and the trillions of dollars we spent in Afghanistan. And we walked away. By the way, folks, I just want to tell you this, and I intend to preach more on Islam. Don't corner me. Denny uses that term, but I'll get it preached when I'm able to preach it. It's coming. But there's a lot of things you got to work with, too, in interceding. But Islam is attractive to a world looking for stability, accountability, and structure. Even though it's pure deception, the Quran is a perversion of God's holy word, the Bible. And Islam is a perversion of Christianity. But the world is looking, even though we may not see that, but underlying all the chaos in our culture, people are looking for stability, accountability, and structure. And my friends, biblical Christianity at this time is not attractive. Partially because it has lost its stability, accountability, and structure. The church today, including Fruitland Baptist Church, is an amalgamation of things that barely hang together because we don't stand for much anymore. We become churches of preference today, not churches of sound truth. Stability, accountability, and structure, but also because Satan has deceived and deluded the hearts of many men. That's why they don't want Bible Christianity. The bottom line part of it is because Satan's told them it's no good, and they believed his lies. Page 3. Didn't Paul Harvey used to say something like that? I need to bring out more jokes, don't I? Well, I'm enough of a joke. So I'm just going to teach the scriptures. Did I read verse 9? Yes, I did. You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's what's behind all this, folks. Now verse 10. And then, and this is the one to really take a look at this morning, and then shall many, Jesus is talking here again, I believe, to believers, and those that potentially will be believers from Judaism or anywhere, and the things that are going to come down during this period, he says, and then shall many be offended. What's the biblical teaching on that word, English word, offended? You're tired of hearing me say, I got my feelings hurt. What's Cause to stumble. That's what that word means in the Bible. Read it that way. And then shall many be caused to stumble. Folks, our churches today have stumbled. And shall betray one another and shall, read it to me, class. Folks, the end of the church age. And I've said this before, the church will not go out with a bang, it's going to go out with a whimper. And in most cases, God's going to end the church age because the church is of no value any further. Because it stumbled. The church is supposed to be a place of love. I'm saying churches today are divided and they're hateful of each other. And we've struggled with that at Fruitland. Christians that stumble due to deception, betrayal, and hatred in the church will be the norm in our day. Laodicea, the last church mentioned of the seven in Revelation. Jesus is not the center of his church, and he can't even get back into it. Laodicean is the lukewarm, complacent, sufficient church that has need of nothing except what it was founded on, Jesus. And he says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not the center. Let's face it, folks. Interest in the gospel and church increased briefly after 9/11. But it has declined precipitously since. Amen? Or am I teaching false stuff here? You think the church today is stronger than it was 20-some years ago and back? And folks, this is all part of the rubble from 9/11. They buried the stuff that fell there in New York City. But the evidence is hitting us yet today. Well, we got to wrap it up because it's dinner time, right? Oh, I mean lunchtime for most of you. Verses 11 through 12. Excuse me? Thank you, brother, sister. I intend to. Jesus goes on and he says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. By the way, he said it over another time here in this. When we repeat ourselves, when Jesus repeats himself, it must be for a reason. By the way, if you don't believe me, I've just got a few names here. Joseph Smith. Muhammad. You can go right down the line. He told it right. And in verse 12, Jesus said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax or grow cold." And I already told us, didn't I? The problem we have in the church today is a lack of love and a proliferation of hatred. Kim and I enjoyed our time at the table yesterday down at the park. It wasn't one of the better attended Fruitland days, at least from the perspective of the park. By the way, Bill's here this morning. He'll tell you the car show is the main draw down there, isn't it, Bill? Yep. But you know what? I was thankful yesterday. Kim and I prayed before we started that at least there'd be one person interested in the gospel. You guys were down there yesterday. There were a few people stopped by the tent, weren't there? A few people even took literature. A few people had questions. It was worth it to be there, Fruitland Baptist Church. Here's the conclusion. The false prophets, anointed ones, are out there, including Muhammad's Islam. And I do believe, my friends, that it will be a major force in the end times in false religion, coupled with many of the rest of them that are all going to get together. It's coming. If you don't see that, it already is. The false religions embrace one another. And there will be a plethora of others on Satan's team. And because of it, the basis of genuine biblical Christianity, love, has and will grow. Thank you. And friends, it's a symptom of our time, just as plain as the nose on your face. I couldn't see Kim to kiss her, but I still know where my nose is. We need to work on that more, Kim. Well, I'm not just here to pick on Islam, but I think we need to preach on it, don't you? We need to expose its false tenets. We need to love people that are deceived by Islam. By the way, I had that on the table yesterday. No one took anything about the Quran, but they did take other literature that we had out there. We will be warning about Islam in the next weeks. It's not the only one, but it is Satan's agent in our day and a threat to the well-being of people's souls, including people here today, if you're not under the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one and the only way to have your needs met in regard to our sin. What more can I say? And our eternal well-being. Are you spiritually healthy today? Is your well-being secure in Jesus Christ? Will you buck the trend in the real rubble of 9/11? I'm done yapping. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. Number 40. Again, we won't sing all the stanzas of this hymn as we close today. And I'm going to ask Lynn Parrish to close us out in prayer today when we're done. We're going to sing "We Gather Together." We need to ask God to bless us and help us in our day. If there's one here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, He's available to you today by calling on His name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And for those of us that are saved and we've got problems with our situation, He's there to hear us. He's gentle and tender yet today. His grace still abounds. But folks, this day is significant, just like 9/11. We'll either pass it by or we'll draw closer to Christ. And I believe this, for those in hell that reject Jesus Christ, they'll remember every day that an opportunity came their way to receive Christ. By the way, you don't have to come forward, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't hurt a thing. And like I tell you all the time, I'm here every week. It's not because I'm a preacher, because I should be. I want to help you, and there's others here as well if you have questions. Jesus and His Bible have the answers. Let's sing. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name. He forgets not His own. As Winston Churchill said during the battle for London, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Today, we don't worship the God of fear. We worship the God of power and might and of love. May you have a rich afternoon. Lynn, would you dismiss us today with prayer? Thank you.